Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Ray Herbert. I think it's time to ask you, Ray, about your novels. What prompted you to turn to this form? What do you like best about writing at length?
Well, the novel came about accidentally, virtually, because I was writing a short story that kind of got carried away. I was taking a writing class at that time. The class was very informal. It was geared for people like myself with very little writing experience. And the teacher was very, very good. She gave us a lot of leeway. And so after I wrote this long, short story, she said, well, it has the potential, to be expanded on. So I started doing that. And it was much more difficult than I thought because I'm a linear thinker, I guess, because now I had to write backstory for the story that I had written. And the timeline just confused me. But the end result, it took a lot of work. The end result, I was very pleased with. It was a story that had a little bit of everything in it. It's called Sometimes a Hero. And it has, action and violence, but it also has humor and romance and whatnot. So I truly enjoyed it. I don't think I'll write more novels simply because of the time factor. I truly like writing short stories because you can get, the whole thing done in a brief period of time.
Right.
You get instant gratification, so to speak, yeah. That it's done. And I think I like them better for that reason, if nothing else. But I do like them because I tell short stories rather the way it's a mini novel is what it is. I don't tell short stories like the Humber School of Writing does, for example. I don't understand their thinking, but they have their own way of doing it.
I'm curious, the short story that sparked the novel, was it like a true short story that you were going to make into one of your other?
No,
it was pure fiction.
It was my first real attempt at fiction. And how I got that again from the suggestion from my writing teacher, who I said to her, I don't know that I can write fiction because I'd written memoirs, which is nice and easy. The stories are already there, the characters are there, there's nothing to do except put it down in a coherent way. And she said, well, make a transition and try it in a small way. And I did a couple of short stories, and they were okay, not wonderful, but okay. And then I got the idea for this short story, and it kind of grew from there, and it worked out quite nicely.
Well, I'm glad it did.
Me too.
I understand that you self-published it. Can you tell us a bit about
that?
Yes
and no. What I did was, Richard Grove has a Hidden Brook Press, a small company. And his wife and I had been in a writing class together, so I knew him through her. And so when I went to ask him about it, he said, well, I can help you. I had no money. And he said, I can help you get this done. So what it ended up being was he ramrodded it, so to speak. He did the layout for me on the book, got my ISBN and those kinds of things through the auspices of his publishing company. And then he gave me a list of names of printers that he used and so on. And I contacted them myself and then had it printed, but it was through him. So it's kind of a hybrid, you might say. But it turned out quite well, and I thank him for that. He was a big help in getting that done at minimal cost to me. I didn't want to, spend a lot of money getting self-published. And so this way I sold enough to get my money back. And my son, who is a writer himself, he said, my God, Dad, that's a Canadian success story.
It is.
So I broke even.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, and it's not ended yet. I'm sure there's more to sell, right?
Well, yeah, that's the problem. When about the time that both of my books came out is about the same time that my music career started going busy. And it has eaten up so much more of my time. And I have a music partner with it, so I'm kind of obliged to help him too. So my writing, I haven't pursued selling my book very well. That's my next obstacle. I guess I've got to get out and try to flog the darn things.
Well, okay, so if you're not going to write a novel and you've done your memoir, what's next?
Well, again, short stories are my favorite now. They're something I can get done in a short period of time, obviously. And so I've got quite a bunch of them put together now that I've accumulated over the last 10 years, and I'm still writing more. Now I'm doing some final editing on them, and hopefully within a year, I'm hoping, I'll have a book of them ready to be published.
Wonderful.
That's my next project.
Yeah. What I've seen is quite popular these days are volumes of short stories where all the stories are connected.
Yes.
They have similar characters or the same characters,
yes.
And or they all take place in a particular town or whatever. Is yours like that at all, or
no,
they're all different?
No, unfortunately, no. I know exactly what you speak of because I've read several of them myself, and there's a kind of a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have that in mind when I started writing these stories, I didn't keep it to a theme.
Right.
And so I've written pretty much, as I said earlier, a lot of funny stories and a lot of dark, moody stories that they're kind of scary.
Nice.
And I think I'm just going to put them together in a mishmash and hope that people like a change other than having the theme.
Well, I think that's the perfect book for bedtime, you know, one story a night, and it can be a different one every night.
Yeah, there's never, well, not, I wouldn't say never, but almost never any recurring characters in these stories. And there's a couple, but not much. So they're all unique unto themselves.
Well, can we ask you to read again?
Sure. I've got a short story here that hopefully will be end up in my collection. It's called Resignation. Arnold Somerville pulled his chair up to the kitchen table, glanced across at his wife Esther, then turned to face directly across the table at his son William. He took a sip from his coffee mug and cleared his throat. Son, your mother and I ask you here today because we've made a decision that will probably affect you and your family, so we'd really like your input. It's important to us. He paused for another sip of coffee, then went on. Your mother and I have decided to sell our house and use the money to buy a boat and sail around the world. The room fell silent. Arnold looked resolutely at William, defying his son to argue. William, while somewhat startled by his father's extraordinary declaration, was more than familiar with his father's idiosyncrasies and over the years had learned not to confront him directly. Indeed, disagreement on anyone's part only served to strengthen his stubborn father's resolve. With an accommodating smile, William turned to his mother. So you're on board with this plan, are you, Mom? Esther hesitated briefly, stealing a quick look at her husband before saying, Yes, dear, I am. Your father and I aren't getting any younger, and we think we should have some fun, some adventure in our lives before it's too late. She again glanced at her husband as though silently asking, Did I say it right? Her furtive look was duly noted by William. Smiling inwardly, he addressed his father cheerily. So when is this adventure going to start, Dad? As soon as we sell the house. We ask you here today to make it clear what our plans are so that you and Janice won't have to worry about taking care of this big house when we aren't able to, you know, sometime down the road. Arnold nodded firmly, emphasizing his statement. Sounds good, Dad. Exciting. Feigning puzzlement, William added, When did you learn to sail a boat and navigate? Again, a pause. Well, I haven't learned yet, but I figure while the house is being sold, I could take a course or something. Arnold attempted to mask his uncertainty by hiding behind his coffee mug. Patiently, William said, Dad, you're over 200 miles from any body of water bigger than a duck pond. Where do you think you're going to take this training? Rattled now, Arnold swallowed several times and cleared his throat. Looking to his wife for help, he noted her eyes firmly cast on the floor. Well, he floundered. Suddenly a smile lit up his face. The Internet, he proclaimed with enthusiasm. I'll learn it on the Internet. Okay, William said reasonably. You're going to learn to sail, navigate, read maps, all the many dozens of skills you need to sail around the world by taking a course on the Internet. Are you going to learn to swim on the Internet, too? William willed the snicker out of his tone when he continued. And another thing that has apparently escaped your consideration. Remember 5 years ago when you and Mom took the Chichimon to Manitoulin Island? Remember how you both got so seasick they had to put you in their infirmary? So seasick that even after 2 days on shore, you still had the dry heaves and couldn't drive your car. Janice and I had to drive up there and bring you home. By this time, Arnold had given up any attempt to meet William's gaze. He was very busy studying an imaginary cut on his thumb. Sensing he had his dad on the ropes, William turned to his mother. Gently, he asked, Mom, how do you really feel about all this? Her eyes still on the floor, she hesitantly said, Well, dear, your father wants to do this, and I want him to be happy. She looked up at William with a shy smile. Actually, I'd kind of like to go to this terrific artist colony in New Mexico I read about. Gaining momentum now, she bubbled, You live in adobe houses, share a communal kitchen, study painting, pottery, sculpting, all kinds of art forms. It sounds wonderful. You mean it sounds crazy, snarled Arnold. With a hint of anger in her voice, Esther shot back, Oh, Arnold, you've never even tried to like the idea. Right from the minute I suggested it, you closed your mind. Because it's a stupid idea, Arnold snorted. Fire in her eyes now, Esther shot back. Oh, yeah, and of course your idea makes perfect sense. If we do what you want, we'll all be lost at sea and drown the first day out of port, she snapped. Better than dying of thirst in the desert and buried by a bunch of godless hippies, Arnold scoffed. Although their argument lacked logic or structure or anything remotely resembling reason, William found it highly entertaining. He had grown up listening to dozens of similar squabbles, and leaving home to make his own life, he found he was oddly nostalgic for his parents' own particular brand of insanity. It was one of those things that made them unique. He found it strangely endearing. Truth be told, he felt his parents did too. Unfortunately, William's pleasure trip down memory lane was about to end. "Wait a minute," his dad said emphatically. "Esther, why are we arguing? This is our life, our business. What's he doing, butting in uninvited?" His eyes glued on William to his wife, he said. "We were doing fine till Mr. Budinsky here stuck his nose in. Now he's turned us against each other." His voice was filled with righteous indignation. Incredulous, William said, "Are you kidding me? You asked me here for my opinion. You said you wanted my input." Ignoring William's outburst, Esther stuck her chin out, aiming it at William. "That's right, Arnold. You're absolutely right." Her voice softened a little, and she turned and looked at her son. "I'm sure you meant well, dear, but I think you should go now before any more damage is done." She smiled gently and added, "It's never a good idea to give people unsolicited advice, dear. Try to keep that in mind." "Unsolicited? Unsolicited?" William gasped. "You invited me here today specifically to..." Throwing his hands up as a signal of surrender, he stopped himself, drew in a long breath, and exhaled audibly. Shaking his head in frustration, William headed for the door. To no one in particular, he said, "They sucked me in again. I forgot their pattern, their tried-and-true conflict-resolving method. Tag-team arguing. It's my own fault. I should have remembered. I never stood a chance." As he reached the door, he said, "I'll see you on Sunday for dinner, guys. Bye-bye. Love you."
Thank you, Ray. We've been speaking with Ray Hibbert, singer, songwriter, performer, and author of the novel Sometimes a Hero and a memoir, The Way It Was, Sort of. Ray, where can listeners either buy your books and hear you perform, perhaps?
The books through my website. My website is not particularly meant for my writing, it's meant for my music. And the website is, got your pencils ready? This is randrmusic.net. And the "and" is not an ampersand, it's the word "and," R-A-N-D. If you go there, you can contact me at least. If you want to buy a book, I can certainly get it to you.
And where do you perform?
Mostly, we cover an area pretty close to home. Out of Brighton, we go as far east as Belleville and as far west as Cobourg, north to Campbellford, and south down into Prince Edward County, which is really our mainstay. There are a lot more venues down there to play in, and we do very well down there. We play there quite a bit.
Oh, well, thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And thank you, too, to our listeners for tuning in today. If you would like to connect with us, please visit our website, www.wordonthehills.com, and you can leave us a message there, perhaps a comment, a query, or a suggestion for whom we might interview in future programs. You'll also find all the programs archived there so that you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program right here on Northumberland 897 Truly Local Radio.